I'd like to begin my annual pastor's report by reflecting on 2019. This past year has been a time of transition for the church. Pastor Alan and Marissa Flood left in February after serving here for 2 years. During the interim period, the church met under the preaching leadership of Pastor Arnold Marcus and Pastor Mike Litzy, perhaps others that I don't know. Rhonda and I had checked with our field strategy coordinator, Reverend Stephen Guaberto, about coming over to Guam during the interim time to help the church and explore how to develop educational endeavors on the Micronesia district. We had thought a lot about the Guam church in Micronesia and the situation, but were surprised when our leaders said that they would like us to come here full time with the strategy to help develop leaders in Micronesia. So after serving in education and member care ministries in the Philippines for almost 3 years, Rhonda, Shan, and I moved to Guam on August 4th and began our ministry here. A lot has happened in the last 4 months. We have met with various ministries to pray, strategize, dream, and listen. This included meeting with the youth, music team, church board, and children's workers. We are excited to see the involvement of people in the ministries of this church. We also realize that the needs are significant and sometimes even overwhelming. With only a few workers, we cannot do everything we hope or even need to do. Therefore, we must prioritize. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We must ask the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers for this harvest. We have had much to celebrate for what has happened in only a short time. My teachers used to warn us ministry students not to make too many changes too fast when we first go to a church. This is sound advice, but I also think that there's a great opportunity and potential with our church and want to press forward. Most of the new initiatives have not been my ideas, but of the church people. I want to be a listener and work together as a team to expand our ministries and carry out God's mission for us on Guam. Here are a few brief highlights that I have seen so far. Children, I am thankful for those who serve in our Sunday school and children's church and pick up our children and youth. We owe a lot of gratitude to these faithful workers, Agnes, Glenda, Jennifer, and the young people who have helped. I'm genuinely excited every time I see children around the church. The youth. The prime time of life for decisions is during our youth years. I appreciate how Milani has been leading the youth and thinking of new and creative ideas about to help them grow. On Friday nights, the youth completed a video series about the Bible. We did an extra makeup session today. We will be planning other youth or growth opportunities in the near future. Men. We have met once a month on Saturday mornings for breakfast. We have been watching a video called Stepping Up, and that has challenged us to be men of God. Women. I don't know all that goes on with the monthly women's gathering, but I know they have good food because I get the leftovers. Women's ministry is a vital component and outreach of our church. Music ministry. I am thankful for our musicians and the talents God has given them. At times I challenge them with a new song, but they do their best with it. Many people serve in the background of the church, including Tina and her potluck organization, Yvette and her boys with the cleaning, Alex with repairs, and other people that I can't always remember names. Ministries. Our church is showing greater strength and vitality since we arrived in August. Our average Sunday morning attendance has been around 50. This is significantly down from a decade ago, but I am encouraged to see the many faithful faces each Sunday. I realize that many of our regular attenders work on Sunday mornings, which makes it difficult. I encourage us to be aware of those who are not present and to give them a word of encouragement. We can also pray that the bosses will let our people have Sundays off so that they can join us in worship. One of my major goals when I first arrived was to find out who is part of the church and how to contact people. I am thankful to be making progress on this, but there's still some work in this area. Recently, the board updated the membership roles to be more accurate. I would like to challenge those who are not members to seriously consider becoming a member of our church. I also hope to continue to update our church directory to be more accurate, and so I can print it off so we can have our contact numbers. I appreciate the work of Darren with keeping track of the church funds, along with the help of Harry. I also appreciate Norma and Marina for faithfully counting the money each week. Our church is stable financially. I am happy to report that our church has paid its World Evangelism Fund and district budget 100% this year. The church does not need to provide me a salary, which saves significant resources for other needs. Our church needs at least $4,000 income each month to operate our ministries and to pay for our needs. I would like to challenge the church to go beyond that in order that we can support and expand our ministries and outreach. Ministry. God is opening up opportunities for us, and we have some ministry needs. Our church is not large. Therefore, we cannot do all the ministries we would like, or perhaps that this church did 10 or 15 years ago. We will develop our ministries step by step as God leads and empowers us. We must remain faithful and press forward. Sunday school is a prime time for discipleship. This is a great opportunity for us to help our children and youth grow in their understanding and commitment to God. Our adult attendance is small. I encourage those who come to worship services to come early enough to join a class. Sunday school is not just for children. Darren does an excellent job in having great ideas for us each week. Are you growing spiritually or just coasting along? Children's church. We will be developing our children's ministry by providing a special time of worship and discipleship. This will be done with a team approach. Youth. We are grateful for how God is working in the lives of our youth. The teenage and adult ages are some of the most important times for making important life decisions. I hope that our youth will develop leadership skills and begin to take on ministries here in our church as God leads them. I was a second grade boys Sunday school teacher my senior year of high school. Music team. I appreciate the talents God has given our musicians and their dedication to their ministry. I hope more of our youth will grow their talents and join the team, either in singing or with an instrument. There's always room for more. Outreach. We must be the people of God wherever we go. Church is not just on Sunday morning, but 24/7. You are the church when you are at your jobs, shops, or homes. We can develop a two-part strategy. First, we must be in prayer that God would lead people to our church. When I have challenged churches to pray for visitors, God has brought people. But we must be prepared by being friendly, open, loving, accepting, and ready to follow up with contact. Second, we must be willing and courageous to be used by God to spread the gospel wherever we go, family, work, school, and marketplace. We have a great opportunity for this with the upcoming Guam Festival of Hope. I have become involved in the leadership council of this event, which has allowed me to meet many pastors and lay people across Guam. Please be in prayer for how God desires to use you during this island-wide event. Facilities. The church is blessed to have so many buildings and so much space to meet. Few churches are blessed with property like this. There are many areas of our facilities that need attention. We have been slowly cleaning out spaces and doing projects, but there is much more that needs to be done. I am looking forward to seeing the significant impact the Daekwong Church Work and Witness Team will have in just over a week. Many of areas of need will be addressed by the 53 people who are giving their time and money to come to Guam and to minister to us. My vision for 2020. Here are some key points that will guide my vision and ministry this year. The focus of Rhonda and my ministry will be in holistic discipleship. This can be seen in the following areas. Number one, equipping people for service. My prayer is that God will lead each person in the church to a vital ministry. This ministry may be in our church activities, we need more workers, in your home, business, or school. I want to equip you for service. I intend to do this through preaching biblical sermons, providing discipleship materials in the bulletins, occasional visits and encouragement, deeper study through the course of study, and lay training and other growth opportunities. We need to focus on the basics of prayer, fellowship, teaching, and worship, and not get burdened by too much busyness. We need to make the times we gather together the best we can and the most meaningful we can. Number two, developing children's ministry. This is crucial ministry for our church, since most people become believers between the ages of 4 and 14. The decadal emphasis for our Philippine Micronesia field, and we just decided that this week at our field meeting I had by video, is a focus on children and youth. We are making this decade children and youth decade across the Philippines and Micronesia. I hope every person in the church sees the importance of investing in our children. We can do that by becoming a teacher or supporting our teachers, developing our Sunday school and our children's church, resourcing our leaders with useful curriculum, improving our classrooms, and most important, praying for our children. A very important need we have right now is van drivers. Please join us in prayer for someone to help pick up our children and youth. Number three, developing youth ministry. I'm excited to see our youth serious about learning and growing. I hope our youth can make specific plans for growing as disciples and inviting friends and family to join in activities. How can we reach out to more people? How can we involve those who have been part of our group in the past but are no longer coming? We need to get to know our youth and purposefully mentor them. Number four, growing our young adult ministry. I'm excited to see our young adults who are out of high school and either in college or working. These are important leaders in our church. I would like to challenge our young adults to think of themselves as key leaders in our church. Will you join me in prayer for a leader who can help organize, plan, and disciple our young adults? Young adults, you are very important to me, and I challenge you to move forward in your spiritual walk and discipleship. One step is to take is to become a church member and to look for ways to be involved in spiritual growth. And then number five, facility improvements. We will continue to develop our facilities so that they will have many years of use for us. This is a constant challenge in our tropical environment. We can all do our part to make sure our facilities stay clean, functional, and updated. I hope all of our major building needs will be completed this year so that we can focus on regular maintenance. My partners in ministry are Rhonda and Shan. Rhonda is highly gifted with people skills that I do not have. She is deeply spiritual and has wanted to be used by God even before I met her when we were 18 years old. She does a tremendous amount of work and prayer behind the scenes. Shan is my partner in ministry with her unique gifts. She is our bridge builder and helps us break down barriers that Rhonda and I, with our quiet personalities, probably would not do. Someday I hope you can meet our son, Joel. God is growing him to be a young man of God. He will soon graduate from college and begin preparing to get into medical school. We hope that he might be able to come this summer to see us. We are grateful as a family to be able to serve here. Rhonda and I both have responsibilities outside the church that take quite a bit of our time. I am the field education coordinator for the Philippines Micronesia field. This involves some travel and coordination. Thankfully, I was able to get a lot of foundation built over the past few years. But I need God's wisdom and vision for how I can help move things along forward, both in the Philippines and here in Micronesia. I also serve as the chair for our Regional Course of Study Advisory Committee. I am the primary editor of a new curriculum for our Regional Course of Study. Rhonda is the member care coordinator for our field. She helps develop spiritual and holistic care for our missionaries. She also wants to bring her knowledge and skills to local church ministries, especially here at our church. We serve together as a team. We ask that you join us in prayer as we seek God's direction and desire for us as a church in our community. There is much need around us. Our vision needs to drive us into mission. This will take time, but with God's grace and our obedience, we will see our church grow in all ways. In Christ, Pastor David Ackerman. I'd like to take a few minutes now to share a couple of ideas from God's Word. These are not necessarily all of my ideas, but it's something that has been emphasized in the Church of the Nazarene globally for probably almost a decade now. But I'm going to incorporate my own ideas within these 3 points. These are called our core values. A core value is what is really important. These are the things that guide us. These are the things that direct us into everything that we do. The Church of the Nazarene has 3 core values. We are a Christian people, we are a holiness people, and we are a missional people. I'd like to look at each one of these briefly with a couple of scriptures. First of all, we are a Christian people. We are part of the Church Universal. I know some of us don't get much into church history or what the background of who we are is very much. But we are part of what is called the Protestant arm of the global church. We trace our heritage back through the Protestant Reformation and then through the Catholic Church of the West and to the early church. We agree with the ancient creeds of the church. We consider ourselves Orthodox. We are Christian. We are part of the global, capital C, Church of God around the world. Anyone who agrees with the Orthodox doctrine of the church, they are my brother and sister. And I've been enjoying getting to know many of them here in Guam, the other pastors. Second, we are part of the Wesleyan holiness tradition. We have a special place within this large body of Christ. We were called by God to proclaim the doctrine of holiness, that there truly is freedom from this bondage to sin, that we truly can have hearts purified by the Holy Spirit, and that we can live a life of victory and a life of love. Those are key doctrines of our church, and we trace those back through the holiness revival of the late 18th and 19th centuries, through John Wesley and the Methodist revival, on back through the Protestant and the early church. Third, we are united together as one. There are 2.5 million or more members in the Church of the Nazarene around the world. Today, there are more members in Africa than in North America. We have about 120,000 members within the Asia Pacific region, which is what we are part of. As members of the Church Universal, we join with all true believers in proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ and affirming the historic Trinitarian creeds and beliefs in the Christian faith. We value our Wesleyan holiness heritage and believe it to be a way of understanding the faith that is true to Scripture, reason, tradition, and experience. We are united with all believers in proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We believe that in divine love, God offers to all people forgiveness of sins and restored relationship. In being reconciled to God, we believe that we are also reconciled to one another, loving each other as we have been loved by God and forgiving each other as we have been forgiven by God. We believe that our life together is to exemplify the character of Christ. We look to Scriptures as the primary source of spiritual truth, and we interpret them through reason, tradition, and experience. We are united in all believers in proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church, which, as the Nicene Creed tells us, is one holy, universal, and apostolic. In Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, God the Father offers forgiveness of sin and reconciliation to all the world. Those who respond to God's offer in faith become the people of God. Having been forgiven and reconciled in Christ, we forgive and are reconciled to one another. In this way, we are Christ's church, one body, united together as the body of Christ. As one body in Christ, we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We affirm the unity of Christ's church and strive in all things to preserve it. Paul the Apostle tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are a Christian people, and we must never forget that we are part of a large body of people. Second, we are a holiness people. We are called to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, to be holy as He is holy. As God has called us to be holy, so must we. And we are holy by being free from the control of sin. Romans chapter 6 tells us that sin does not need to be our master anymore. We can have a new master as we commit ourselves and lay ourselves before God on the altar. He will sanctify us completely, thoroughly, so that we may be free from the control of sin. Doesn't mean we will never be tempted. Yes, we're still tempted. We still live in this imperfect world, and we still sometimes fall. But we now have a new resource because we have connected ourselves to the Lord of all. No longer are we finding our paradigm for life here in this world, but we are now connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being remade into the image of God through the work of the Holy Spirit, who transforms us little by little from one degree of glory to the next into His likeness. The Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and our lives so that we are growing, and our goal is to become like Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? It means to have hearts of love. To have hearts that are just overflowing with unconditional love. We are empowered to live this life of love by the Holy Spirit. God, who is holy, calls us to this life of holiness. We believe that the Holy Spirit seeks to do in us a second work of grace, called by various terms: entire sanctification, baptism with the Holy Spirit, cleansing from all sin, renewing us in the image of God, empowering us to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, producing within us the character of Christ. Holiness in the life of believers is most clearly seen as Christ-likeness. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who restores us to this. We believe in God the Father, the Creator, who calls us into being what does not exist. We once were not, but now He's called us into be a people of Himself, fashioned in His image. Leviticus 11:44 says, I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourself and be holy. Become, because I am holy. Number three, we are a missional people. We are a sent people, responding to the call of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit to go into the world, witnessing to the lordship of Christ and participating with God in building up of the church and extending of His kingdom. Our mission begins in worship, ministers to the world through evangelism and compassion, encourages believers through Christian maturity through discipleship, and prepares men and women for Christian service through Christian higher education. First of all, through worship. The mission of the church in this world is worship. As we gather together before God in worship, singing and hearing the public reading of the Bible, giving our tithes and offerings, praying and hearing the preached word, baptizing and sharing in the Lord's Supper, all of these things, clearly, this is what it means to be the people of God. Our belief is that the work of God in this world is accomplished primarily through worshiping. Through us, the worshiping congregation. It is through God's people, us here gathered together, it's through us that God does His mission in the world. Worship is the highest expression of our love for God. It is God-centered, adoration, honoring Him, acknowledging who He is. Also, our mission of compassion and evangelism. As people, we are consecrated to God. We share His love for the lost and His compassion for the poor and the broken. The great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, and the great commission to go into the world, these ought to move us into evangelism, compassion, and justice. To this end, we are committed to inviting people to faith, to caring for those in need, to standing against injustice with the oppressed, and working to protect and preserve the resources of God's creation, including the fellowship of all who call on the name of the Lord. It's through this mission in the world that the church demonstrates the love of God. And then our mission of discipleship. We are committed to being disciples of Jesus Christ and inviting others to become disciples. With this in mind, we are committed to providing the means through Sunday school, through children's church, through youth group, through whatever way we can. We want everyone to grow into their discipleship of Jesus Christ. Discipleship is the means through which the Holy Spirit gradually brings us into maturity in Christ. Christian discipleship is a way of life. It is the process of learning how God would have us live in this world. It is through discipleship that we become the Christian people we ought to be in holy character. The ultimate goal of discipleship is to be transformed into the image of the one that we are following, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, our mission is one of Christian higher education. We are committed to Christian education through men and women who are equipped for lives of service. In our seminaries, our colleges, Bible colleges, universities, we are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, the development of Christian character, and the equipping of leaders to accomplish our God-given calling. On the local level, we want to develop our Christian education from the youngest to the oldest. There's always more that we can grow. One way that we will be doing that through our local church is by offering extension education courses in our course of study. And we will be beginning one of those in February. Christian higher education is an essential part of the mission of the Church of the Nazarene. In the early years, institutions of Christian higher education were started. Sometimes, even before churches were organized, there were Bible schools, and many of those are still in existence today. On our region, we have 15 schools. We have 3 just in the Philippines. Our continued commitment to Christian higher education through the years has produced a worldwide network of seminaries, Bible colleges, and universities. I'm a graduate of 2 of our Nazarene schools, and I'm thankful for that. And I encourage our young people to seriously consider going to one of our Nazarene schools. It would be a great opportunity. I hope you catch a vision of just who we are as a church locally and who we are globally. We are part of something big, but it all begins with each one of us. Every one of us has a part in that. And so I just encourage you to find where God can use you in the ministry of our local church and in our community. As soon as we leave the doors here, our ministry continues. Some churches actually have this sign. I really like it. It's like, now the ministry begins, or something like that. As soon as you leave, right outside the door, it says, go out and minister. Go out and serve. The mission begins now, or something like that. That's a great thought. When we gather, this is not church. This is worship. Church is out there. We are the people of God.